Good morning and welcome to worship today. I'm Pastor Derek Ingfeltz, speaking from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Saratoga on the 19th of July, 2020. This is our 19th virtual service that we are putting out on the World Wide Web, and we thank you for your attendance, your presence with us as we gather. Today's theme is Surprises in the Kingdom. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Good, gracious, and glorious God, once again we come before you in great thanksgiving for your faithful and abiding presence. Today we gather from far and wide to praise you for your life-giving word that both convicts us and brings us comfort, hope, and inspiration. Lift our spirits in praise before you now, for you alone are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening musical selection, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Elizabeth, for sharing that with us as we gather on this Lord's Day. We continue our virtual worship because, of course, of the COVID virus that is ravaging our world. Now more than 3.5 million people in our country have been affected, and more than 140,000 people have died. 14 million people worldwide. We continue to pray to God to grant us relief, grant us a cure, recovery, and a vaccine. During the many changes that are taking place with this continually moving target, our communities continue to change. We have recently come into a downturn. I encourage you all to be patient, to think of the other in all that you do, to be careful, and be a good example of a Christ follower during these days. Also, during this time when we are physically distanced from one another, community connection is so very important. You have an opportunity for fellowship gathering online with Zoom following this service. If you're watching Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, we have a Zoom gathering. All are welcome to attend that. It's simply a time of fellowship where you can connect with others. It takes place about 9:30, 9:45. You can come in and leave as you choose. Please do consider joining us. Also each day, daily bread is being posted on our church website. You're encouraged to go there at 9 o'clock in the morning where you will see it posted. And also at that hour, you are encouraged to pray, knowing that there are others in the community that are doing so at the same time. Bible study offerings are on Wednesday morning at 10 and also Thursday morning a bit earlier at 6:30. Wednesday, we are studying the praise psalms, and on Thursday we are in Matthew chapter 4. Please join us this week. And please do let us know your needs if you are in need of grocery shopping or picking up prescriptions, or if you know a neighbor in need of those things, please do let us know. We do have people standing by to assist. And if you have a prayer request, please do email me, and your request will be included in this presentation, as well as in our community prayers throughout the week. Happy 91st birthday to Sam, a member of our congregation. We will include him in our prayers this day and his family as well. Happy birthday also to Darrell's father, who turns 98 today. And happy 6th anniversary to Christoph and Jennifer. I was delighted to officiate at your service 6 years ago. And finally, I want to express a word of gratitude on behalf of the whole faith community for your ongoing commitment to the ministry and mission of our Lord Jesus Christ in and through Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Thank you for your faithfulness in reaching out to one another with your phone calls, your letters, your words of encouragement, so important during these days, and for your ongoing financial support, whether you mail in your offerings or go online and support us through PayPal or Givelify. Thank you very much for your generosity. And finally, if this is of benefit to you, please do share this with others, pass it on, share the link, and spread the word. We want to serve God's people and God's world and appreciate your participation in that. And now we continue with some special music. Ari will be singing the song Ave Maria. Oh, Thank you very much, Ari, for sharing that piece with us today. I appreciate the sharing of your gifts. And now we turn to the gospel reading for today, according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 24th verse. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds also among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" The scripture continues at verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The Gospel of our Lord. Dearly beloved of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you this day from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, I must confess that as I look at this gospel reading for today, Jesus presents a parable and explains it, and part of me wants to say, there you go. I have no part in this at all. It's all done. There's no need for me to get up here and say anything. But you're expecting a little bit more, so let's get into this. Last week we were presented with a parable of Jesus that portrayed the kingdom of God. A sower went out to sow his seed, and some of that seed fell on good soil, and it produced abundantly, some up to 100-fold. And now this morning we have another parable about the kingdom of God, another lens through which to envision how God's kingdom operates. It brings me comfort to know that after Jesus tells the parable, those who were closest to him, his closest followers, his disciples, asked him to explain it to them. They didn't quite get what he was trying to get at. Well, it is a parable that has a surprise around every corner, and our thinking about weeds may well need an adjustment. In fact, our thinking may never be the same again after all is said and done. A man sows good seed in a field, Jesus says, and then he waits. This is the germination period. Well, after I took the squash seeds out of the paper packet that had on the front of it a picture in bright and glorious color of what would be the final fruit of my labors after I planted the seeds, spaced as instructed on that packet, and divided according to the advice of a fellow Emmanuel gardener, I excitedly checked the back of the packet again to read about when I could expect seeds to break ground and give me evidence that my work was not all in vain. 7 to 14 days. Those were the days I lived in trust, this germination period. Those were the days when I waited for my hope to be realized and my efforts to come to fruition. And so the man sows good seed in his field, and he waits. But something transpires in the meantime. Something transpires while all are sleeping during that germination time. And when that time concludes and it's time for the revelation, those who witness it are filled with surprise. For along with the wheat, there are weeds. The servants, upon seeing the sight, fly to the farmer for confirmation that he did, of course, and in fact, plant good seed in the field. And if so, wherefore the weeds? His response is measured. He knows immediately what has taken place and appears neither to be unduly surprised, nor moved to anger, nor panicked about what to do next. He simply states that an enemy has done this. His servants, having received the anticipated answer to their question, then ask a follow-up question they had ready at hand, and the expected answer as well. Do you want us then to go and pull them up? I wonder if Jesus paused at this point when telling the parable. Like a clever and competent comedian, Jesus knew that timing was important. An appropriate pause would prepare his listeners for the revelation and surprise to come. It would leave them hanging on the edge of their seats. It would fill them with anticipation, expectation, and wonder, having them hold their breath for the coming epiphany. So, sir, do you want us to go and pull them up? Now wait just a cotton-picking and weed-pulling moment. I'll tell you, when I was a boy and my father sent me out into the yard to do chores, if I saw a weed growing, this was not a question I would go and ask my father. In the first place, it wasn't a question I needed to ask. I could answer my own question. In the second place, I wasn't foolish enough to go to my father to venture to ask him this question, so simple that the answer was self-evident, for he surely would have sent me, lickety-split, back out into the yard, not only to pull that weed, but all others I could find as well. And any excuses I might have had at the ready for the weeds I had missed, well, I'd better just hold on to those for another day. I mean, really, if we have a garden that we are tending and we find a weed, there's no decision necessary. We immediately go and get it and pull it up. So, sir, do you want us to go and pull them up? Well, of course. What do you expect Jesus to say? No, Jesus narrates. And here sprouts another surprise. Leave them alone, he says. Let them grow together with the good stuff. The servants were surely taken aback by this response, and so are we, unhesitant and unwavering weeders we are, quick to get rid of any interlopers in our gardens. What? Leave the weeds alone? It's a response I could only dream of my father telling me when I was a boy. Yes, leave them alone, says the landowner. But there's a good reason for it. And we feel a new revelation pushing through the surface of our minds, about to sprout up with increased understanding. The purpose of leaving the weeds is for the benefit of the wheat. Another story from my boyhood. My father would regularly take me to visit his grandfather, my great-grandfather, and I was enthralled by his storytelling ability. But he was not only an engaging raconteur, he was also interested in what was going on in our lives. He was always keen, even in his older age, to learn more. And I well remember the smile that would fill his face when we told him something that made him marvel. And he'd remark in his old country accent, "Oh, for lava pit." It was a phrase that would often come out of his mouth. And because the conversation continued, I didn't interrupt him and ask him what he meant by it. And for the longest time, I took it to mean simply, well, this is what great-grandpa says when he is filled with wonder about something. It must have been years later that I asked my father, finally, what does great-grandpa mean when he says that? When he says, oh, for lava pit. My dad laughed and explained, it's his way of saying, oh, for the love of Pete. Or as we might say in the Western world, oh, for Pete's sake. Well, back to the parable and the field of wheat and weeds. Why leave the weeds to grow? For wheat's sake, Jesus says. For lava wheat. The decision by the landowner to allow the weeds to grow along with the wheat was for the benefit and preservation of the wheat, lest by pulling up the weeds, they may uproot the wheat along with them. He allowed the bad stuff to grow along with the good stuff, for the sake of the good stuff. And he assured them that all would work out in the end. For at harvest time, the work of the enemy would come to naught. The enemy would be outwitted by the one who planted the good seed in the field. The weeds would be collected and burned, and the wheat would be gathered and saved, and nothing good would be lost. Well, how does this parable speak into our lives today? I'm sure you already have some ideas about that. I'm sure that you are already making some application in your own life about what this parable might mean, about how you might look upon others, and how it might speak to you about the evil that seems to be running rampant in our world today. We must not, however, force the parable into preset molds. We must not seek to find within it answers to questions it does not ask. Rather, we must listen to what the parable itself has to say. The parable speaks of wheat and weeds, two separate entities that come from two different seeds, planted by two different planters. There's no possibility in the parable of change or conversion. They are either good or bad. It would be unfortunate, misguided, and simply wrong to take Jesus to mean that there are good people and there are bad people, and the good will be saved and the bad will be thrown into the fiery furnace. For we know that there is good and bad inside each one of us. Indeed, good and bad inside every human person. There's already enough finger pointing going on in our world. Those who don't agree with you, weeds, all of them, weeds. We hear the debates and the news, and it might seem that more than ever, there is in the public arena name-calling, slander, and disregard for the truth. We're living in such a polarized environment that those with whom anyone disagrees, they are dehumanized and demonized. Weeds, all of them, weeds. Pull them up, get rid of them. Everything and everyone are suspect. Even numbers are called into question, because those who are holding the chalk cannot be trusted. We don't know what to believe anymore. We don't know who to trust. Weeds, all of them weeds, we say. But lest we think we are alone in this generation that feels this way, that things have never been worse, give a listen to the words of the psalmist, written about 3,000 years ago. Help, Lord, for there is no longer any that is godly, for the faithful have vanished from among the sons of men. Everyone utters lies to his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is our master? Do thou, O Lord, protect us, Save us ever from this generation. On every side, the wicked prowl, as vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Sounds like pretty much what we're experiencing today, doesn't it? In other words, the psalmist is saying, weeds, all of them weeds. Lord, cut off all flattering lips, all tongues that make great boasts. There is no one left who is godly. I guess we're not the only generation that is plagued with a pandemic of evil. We see evil all around us, and we are quick to judge, and without a second thought, move to criticize, denounce, and discard. But as much as we are called to depart from evil and do good, we are also called not to judge. Jesus calls us to love our enemies, to overcome evil with good. He tells us that his heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. And so should we. The grace of God has been freely given to all sinners, and the grace we extend in return should have no filter. We're called to do justice and to expend our efforts to side with those who are powerless and to speak on behalf of those who have no voice. But in the end, we are to leave the final accounting to God, for the verdict is his alone to find, and he alone will enter into judgment upon it. Jesus assures his listeners that there will be a day of reckoning when all the lawless and evil and those who cause others to stumble and sin will finally and summarily be judged. Weeping and gnashing of teeth are the words Jesus uses to describe the outcome. And this is not the only time he will call upon those words. It's not a pretty picture, but it's the picture that Jesus paints, and we dare not look away. Let it then do its work to prick and pique our self-assured and stubborn hearts, lest we ever think we can act selfishly with impunity. Let it instruct and assure you, God is both merciful and just. And those in this life who think they can outsmart God have another thing coming. And let this parable give you hope and assurance that Jesus lovingly cares for all who call upon his name, and that one day the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father, for the righteous have been made so by the holy sacrifice of his Son. To God alone be the glory. Well, as a Lutheran church, we are a confessional church, and so we are going to use this time, as we do every Sunday when we gather, to remember and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and gracious God, we bow our hearts in humble adoration before you, and we give you thanks and praise as we go about your work in this Pentecost season, this season of renewal and growth. We lift before you beloved servants in our community in special need of your healing touch and the assurance of your presence. We lift before you Dick and Dawn, Dorothy, George and Kimberly, Greg, Jace, Janet, Josephine and Sam, May, Marcy, Nancy, and Thelma. We thank you that you are watching over them, keeping them in your loving care. During these days of COVID-19, we pray especially for those in New York, New Jersey, California, Florida, and Texas, where the virus is running rampant. Be with those who are making decisions. Be with those whose decisions have been made for them, granting them patience and steadfastness. And we pray for recovery, for vaccine, and for a cure. We thank you for the gift you have given of those who you've given to us in our faith community, who celebrate their birthdays this coming week. We pray that you would bless them richly in the coming year with all that is good. We lift before you Chip, Christopher, Diane, Jack, Janet, Sam, and Sophie. We thank you also for Chip and Maria, Christoph and Jennifer, as they celebrate their anniversaries this week. Continue to draw them close to one another as you draw them close to yourself. And we pray for those who are in authority over us. This week we pray for Senators Harris and Feinstein, and pray that you would grant them wisdom, guidance, and insight, humility, and strength as they serve the people of this state and nation. We pray for our sister congregation, Bethel Lutheran Church in Cupertino, and Pastor Don, for the ministry taking place within and beyond their church walls, and for missionaries Dan and Barrett serving in Cartagena, Colombia. Bless their work, their efforts, keep them safe, and multiply their ministry. And we pray for those families that grieve the loss of loved ones, including the Wallace, Mautino, and Mao families. Comfort them with your presence and encourage them with your promises of everlasting life. All these spoken prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts we lift before you, trusting in your mercy, as we join together in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us again this day, on the 19th of July, and now receive the benediction. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now please enjoy a final musical selection, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, words and music by our own Martin Luther.